Welcome to the Bull Gap Journal. I'm Robert Holmes, your host, a Sylacauga native, veteran, proud community citizen. And we're here today in the Radio Alabama studios on the journal. You know, we talk about life, leadership, common sense, especially as it affects our communities and our commerce around here. Joining me today is a friend, Drew Honeycutt. Drew, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Drew is a Central Alabama resident right now. He sort of roams around between Sylacauga, Talladega, and Birmingham. He's the CEO of the Talladega Castings and Machine Company. You've been there, as I recall, what, about a year and a half now, 2 years?
I bought the business January of 2022, so coming on 2 years.
Okay, great. So, but you grew up here in Alabama.
I did.
A native of, was it Hoover?
No, I grew up in Vestavia.
Vestavia.
Hills, live there now, raising three little girls.
Great.
And, have a wife and 10-year-old, 7-year-old, and 5-year-old little girls.
So good deal. Good deal, man. So Drew is in our area here, as I said, with the company in Talladega Casting and Machine Company.
Yep. That's right.
So tell us a little bit about what you do and the impact of your business there.
Yeah, so like I said, I bought the business. My father and I bought the business January of 22, mm-hmm. and it's coming on 75-year anniversary next year. We'll celebrate. It's a machine shop, fab shop, foundry that was founded by a family, the Heacock family, in 1949. We make heavy industrial machinery. We're what they call a job shop, so everything is custom. We service a couple of hundred different customers each year, thousands of different parts.
Wow.
Make everything from small defense parts to large breakers and mining equipment for the underground mining industry.
Nice. So now we talked the other day, in terms of your customer base and service area is nationwide, with some even international.
Yeah, all of our customers are U.S. based, but a lot of our equipment goes international.
Right.
We have customers everywhere from Oregon to South Florida to the Northeast.
So right.
We ship all over the country.
So it's so important to me as we tell the story of commerce and industry here in Central Alabama, how much of what we do. And like your company and other companies actually have impact on international economies and international production, manufacturing, and I really like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, and I think so much of the time we, as citizens here, we take it for granted, those people that, those companies that are around us. Now, this was not your first rodeo in terms of business. So you're the CEO now of Temco. But you had a couple of other exciting adventures.
I have, yeah. I was very fortunate to be raised by two great entrepreneurial parents. So from a young age, I knew that I wanted to own businesses and create opportunities for others. And I just really enjoyed just the dealings that my parents had in the community and just being able to make an impact. And so, naturally, I became an entrepreneur, really have been since a young age. But post-college and as a professional, I've done everything from service. I've had a couple of service businesses. I've had a couple of technology businesses. Mm-hmm. We've built mobile apps and different SaaS platforms. And this is definitely a new venture in manufacturing for me, but it's been
nice.
It's been eye-opening and a great learning experience.
So SaaS, for folks who just software as a service, as
that's
I
correct.
Recall, yeah. So you were doing all of that right here in Central Alabama, in Birmingham.
In Birmingham, yeah, that's correct.
Great. So how many companies before that? What?
Five companies, I guess, in earnest over my career.
So you've got the experience here to get companies started, startups, right. and get it done.
That's mostly effective. What my experience has been, is starting from scratch. Yeah. And so this business, acquiring a business, has been a new experience. We've acquired businesses in the past, but typically rolled right. them up. So as an operating business, it's really interesting to step into a 74-year-old business and learn what made it successful
right.
over these 74 years, but really leaning into the future and figuring out how do we innovate and bring technology into kind of an older industry that hadn't seen as much advancement.
Right. So one interesting thing here that I think is we piece our conversation together, your start was in IT and services, and now you're the CEO of a metal casings and machining company of which you had no prior experience or background other than it was a business.
That's it.
And you felt like you could take it on.
That's it. It's all blocking and tackling with, you know, balance sheets and financial statements at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But really what made me comfortable was the fact that it had been around for 74 years, 73 years at the time.
Yeah.
We had a very capable, highly talented professional team in place that knew what they were doing, had the expertise, and really had the foundation to make it great again. And that's what we've been focused on.
One thing that I wanted to share today with the folks as they watch and listen in. So business on one side, chief executive officer, entrepreneur for startup businesses, and now at Temco. You several years ago were the CEO of Innovation Depot.
Correct.
In Birmingham. Very important part of developing commerce. Would you tell us about that just a little bit, about the depot,
Innovation Depot? Yeah, so Innovation Depot is 140,000 square foot innovation center, business incubation center in Birmingham. It's the largest in the state. There's currently, I think, about 120 companies in there, mostly high growth businesses, mm-hmm. businesses that have the ability to scale pretty quickly. And it's really the heartbeat of the tech community in Birmingham. And the surrounding areas of Birmingham. And so it's a place where entrepreneurs come, they build community, they learn from each other, and really feed from each other, mm-hmm. make the connections that they need to help grow their businesses. And so it's a vital part of the technology community in Birmingham to really drive that whole movement forward, create more jobs, create more opportunities, and teach people along the way.
So as an incubation center, you said right now there could be 100 businesses working and collaborating together, talking to each other, yeah. learning from each other, experiencing as these young business people and entrepreneurs go to start their business.
Correct.
100.
Yep.
Man, that is amazing.
Yeah, the interesting part about it is it's everything from biotech. So there's a close affiliation with UAB there. So there's about 25,000 square feet of wet lab space. So
right.
you have everything from pharmaceutical development to nanofibers. And then on the software side, you have everything from high growth SaaS companies to data analytics. I mean, there's a very hodgepodge of companies, but again, they're all doing the same thing. They're blocking and tackling, developing customer bases and revenue, and really just getting their businesses off the ground.
Sure. So what brought you to the Innovation Center, the Incubation Center?
Yeah, so I had a business in there. I've had two businesses that started in Innovation Depot, very familiar with it over the years. It was highly beneficial for me. There's nothing harder than starting a business in your basement. And so to get plugged into a community of other entrepreneurs and gain the resources and make the connections there was just a vital part of my journey. And so I got sick in 2018 and took a step back from my entrepreneurial right. journey and really wanted to pour into the community. And so I had the opportunity. They asked me if I was interested in helping with it. It was right at the beginning of COVID. There was just a lot of turmoil with everybody leaving the office and everything.
Sure.
And so it was a good challenge and a good opportunity to give back to the community and jumped at it. So it was.
So I think I did some reading on this, and I think you actually came to Innovation Depot just before COVID kicked off.
April 1st of 21 is when I started.
Yeah.
So it was there was no one in the building. So the first item of business was making it to where people felt safe to come into the building. Mm-hmm. So hand sanitizer stations.
Sure.
Just anything that you could do to make it more comfortable in the building so that people would actually come back in. So it was quiet for the first year, and we spent that time really leaning into the community, figuring out what do they want, what do they need, what do entrepreneurs, what would make them successful, what core components of the building could we add during that time. And so that's what we poured into. And as a result, my time there was briefer than I probably would have liked it to have been, but mm-hmm. As an entrepreneur, I had an opportunity and jumped at it.
So you took it, yeah.
I did, yeah.
But that was rewarding to do that.
Oh, it was incredibly rewarding, and the timing of it was great. It was, as I mentioned, on the tail end of an illness, and just gave me a time to really pour into the community and kind of reassess my my goals, my professional goals, and you know, really just help other entrepreneurs. And that was what I really enjoyed about it.
Yeah, and I know you know, some of the folks around here have heard about the new Innovation Center Earth, East Alabama hub for innovation and technology development.
Yes.
It's been spearheaded here locally by so many folks, and I know that you're involved in that as well. So
really excited about that project. Yeah. It's going to be a game changer for East Alabama.
It will be.
Think of Innovation Depot. Go check out innovationdepot.org. It's a great website that kind of give you an idea of what this can Earth can become.
And sure.
But really, Earth is different than Innovation Depot. It's the same in that we can help get entrepreneurs and businesses off the ground, but the focus of the businesses may be a little different here. And so it's leaning into what the region and the talents in the area can bring, and that's what I'm really excited about. Is there's so much built up demand and talent in this region that
there is. I believe that,
and especially in industries that have been overlooked for so many years, that somehow along the lines, America became more of a service based economy. But this region really holds the keys to what makes America great, which is we're self-supportive. We can make things. We're very innovative in the way we cultivate.
Right.
There's just a lot of core components to our economy that we're really good at in this region. And it's a matter of helping create opportunities for people that have those ideas,
sure,
and those visions and plans.
And so important here in a rural community, although, incredible, you know, we're right here on this 280 corridor, which doesn't look that rural, but if you go, you know, a few miles out of 280 going east and west, it gets rural very quickly. And as we look at just the resource and the talent that's right here, that's so important. The East Alabama Regional Innovation and Training Hub, and I'm really glad that you're bringing your experience from Innovation Depot to Earth.
So well, if I learned nothing else from the Innovation Depot, it's that there are entrepreneurs and visionaries and people that have really special talents in all corners of America.
Yep.
And it's just about creating opportunities so that those people can come together and realize their talents together.
Yep.
And that's what I'm really excited about.
You know, several weeks ago, I read an interesting factoid. Of all of the students in like our community college that are learning a technical trade, that are learning about business, to include our four-year colleges, 20% of those young Americans have it in their aim someday to either have their own business, start a business, or be an entrepreneur. 20% of those people. So if you take that national fact and neck it back to right here in Central Alabama, of all of the young people that are going to getting a technical skill at a community college or learning about business, 20% of those folks right here have it in their aim someday to have their own business. And I think what you're talking about helps them do that.
And those are the industries that are so ripe for disruption and for advancement.
Yep.
That social media is full. We don't need any more social media platforms. There's plenty of SaaS service companies out there that, but the core of our economy is ripe for disruption. And in areas like East Alabama, that's where it needs to happen.
Right.
That's where it will happen.
You are right. So I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
Okay, you're here with us in the Radio Alabama studios on the Bull Gap Journal. We've got Drew Honeycutt, a friend of mine that is a local businessman. He's done several startup businesses and is the CEO of Temco Talladega Casings and Machining Company in Talladega. Talked about the impact on the community and his time at the Innovation Depot in Birmingham. We're going to come back in the second segment and talk more personally with Drew about the importance and impact of commercial and community development and how we can all be part of that. Welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal. Robert Holmes here. We're in the Radio Alabama studios in Sylacauga with a guest, Drew Honeycutt. Drew's the CEO of Talladega Casting and Machine Company up in Talladega. He's had, if you joined us in the first segment, has to his credit, several startup businesses. He's an entrepreneur, worked with Innovation Depot in Birmingham for business incubation. Drew, welcome back with us.
Thank you for having me again.
And what we're going to talk about now is the importance of community development, of people development, talent development, and commercial development as it goes into really creating things that we need for our people here, and particularly in Central Alabama.
Sounds good.
So tell us how you see this, what I will call this very important networking of between commerce, community, people, and how it works.
Well, commerce can't work without really talented people. In East Alabama, one of the first things I noticed when I acquired the business is just the quality of people that live in East Alabama. We have a lot of good folks that work with us from the Munford, Talladega, Sylacauga, Oxford, Anniston, just call it kind of all over East Alabama. And the one thing they all have in common is that they are professionals, they are family oriented, and they really care about each other and the work that they're doing, the quality of the work. And so that right there makes it a lot easier to envision big things and go out and really grab them.
Right.
And so that was kind of the foundation of, okay, East Alabama has some really good opportunities and really good based on the quality of the people, and has a history of creating and innovating products, starting with the textile industries. And we all know the stories of what's happened in the fallout of the textile industries.
Yep.
But
very
from
well.
That, we have so many just really talented people that know how to make things and fix things and just have skill sets that a lot of America does not have. And so by virtue of that, a lot of America is looking to this area as kind of the talent pool for doing things that they can't necessarily
Interesting.
Do.
Yeah. And you see that at Talladega Castings and Machine there, you know, where you, you know, have the community. How many folks?
So we have 62 people that work
62.
With us right now.
Yeah. And so you see this talent firsthand that's available right here.
It is. Yeah. And this is talent that is, it's generational. These are folks that grew up around trades and crafts people that really are talented and pass that down from their generation. And it's been passed down.
Sure.
It's been lost in a lot of areas of our country. And so, I speak from a manufacturing standpoint, but this is well beyond manufacturing. This is into, agriculture and just a lot of different industries. And, so that's what gets us excited is we know that we can build a really strong dynamic company based on the talent that exists in this area.
Regardless of the product or service.
That's exactly it.
I think that's an important point, regardless.
Regardless, and that's exactly what we're looking to do is innovate on our 74-year-old business. And so that takes skills that are not necessarily manufacturing, it's software development and just other skills.
Right.
And so East Alabama provides those skills on both sides. So we've been really fortunate to build a team around innovative, but at the same time, more traditional type business.
Sure. So now we covered this in the first segment, you know, quite an extensive background in information technologies, in infrastructure, the IT world. And you know, we focus here on manufacturing and production of manufactured goods in industrial goods here in Central Alabama. But, you know, as I look at as we grow our community and the complexion of community changes in terms of ages and generations and desires and things that people find. You know, I look for the day that Central Alabama also becomes an information technology hub because
Absolutely.
I think we've got the talent here for that. What
yep.
do you think?
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, IT, I speak from the SaaS world. That's kind of where I've got my chops in the technology world. But there's cybersecurity. There's so many different areas
right.
of IT that someone with the desire and the drive to go get certificates and
sure.
just learn. You can go create a really good opportunity for yourself. It's never been easier to going back to our conversation earlier, it's never been easier to start a business than it is now. with all the different SaaS platforms that are out there that can help you really streamline that process. It's now's the time for communities like the communities in East Alabama to really pour into their skills and really take things to the next level.
So again, for the folks that make SaaS is software as a service. That means if you're starting a business and need an application, or if you not starting, but you got a business and things change and you need some sort of software solution for that business, that's what SaaS does for
everything
you,
so, from marketing help to accounting help to operational, just all the different core components of operating a business. You can pretty much run through a monthly subscription software now, and it'll really simplify things.
Yeah. So one thing to me is attractive is that so many young people today, I mean, eventually I think we see a diversity in terms of the workforce, and so many of our folks may not want to go into manufacturing or heavy industrial, but if we then cultivate a climate here to even entertain these IT services that need to be there and software services that need to be there. I mean, the infrastructure for that does not require all of the heavy infrastructure for a foundry or a plant that manufactures things, but could be done in a very small space that you basically clean up and have two dozen cubicles for some smart young people to sit with great internet, high speed internet access, and go to work, man.
That's the advancement of technology that a lot of people ran past. Everyone was running towards social media and these different SaaS platforms, but now it's how do you innovate on more traditional businesses and thinking forward on what that's going to be, and that's the challenge.
So what I understand the drive, entrepreneur, business. But there's something in your story to me that stands out in that it's more than just business. Okay. It is about community. It is about family. Tell me how you got there.
Yeah. So, everything up until about 2018 was about my personal, accomplishments and really just driving my career. And it was looking back on it, somewhat selfish. And so I got sick in 2018, ended up having open heart surgery, and had three little girls. My third daughter was on the way when I had the surgery. And so came out of that and really had some changes in my life. I mean, I was very active, and it kind of slowed down some of my fast-paced activities, a la mountain biking. Really just took a step back and wanted to leave a better footprint on the world for my kids and for the next generation. And so my talent and my gifts are creating opportunities and running business. And so when I say opportunities, it's I hope that everyone that works with me has more opportunities with our company than they would ever have somewhere else. And that's what drives me, is to create more opportunities for our team and then also in the community. And so handing off that information that I've learned in a lot of cases the hard way.
All right.
And really giving other entrepreneurs and business owners and just anybody that wants leadership help or whatever it is, to just help.
So business is one thing. Business is good, but life has got to be in the middle of that with communities and families.
That's the driver. Just the community that supports us. I want to be a big supporter of that community.
Yeah. So, as businesses, and I see this more than ever discussion about, as business or companies have a social responsibility, in a sense, for the communities where, they do their business, to do their manufacturing. So, I see more and more of this where companies are stepping forward, not only to sell product. Okay, I got it. I understand business, bottom line, profit, but also going along with that is this thing of corporate social responsibility to give back to the community. And I believe that's what you're saying there. So
yeah. And I believe that a lot of companies say what they're going to do and they mean it, but they don't necessarily follow through with it, but we're really focused on living it out on a daily basis. And that's the core of who we are. We're family owned, we're family operated, have been for 74 years. And I really want to make sure that our community flourishes And everyone in that community has more opportunity than they've ever had.
So family becomes a core value of not only the corporate life, it is, but that family value then transcends as to who you are as a company, who you are as a people.
Absolutely.
And that's in time, that's the idea is that what goes around comes around, and that comes back to you.
Exactly. But we're more focused on doing good and making sure that people benefit.
Sure.
If we benefit in the long run, that's great, but it's more about making an impact in the community.
Great.
So that's what we're focused on.
So, several startup businesses, young man, you're still fairly young. I'm an
22.
Old guy. You're real young. Stayed here in Alabama to do all of this. Looking at that, we talked about 20% of all of these young people around us today are somewhere, someday, going to go about starting their own business. What would you tell them?
Validate the business and the market for the business, and spend 90% of your time doing that before you do any 10% of the work.
Because that is so true.
I'm spending a lot of my time right now just doing that. We have a lot of different product lines that we're in the process of developing out, and there's plenty of shiny objects that people would buy. But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, does the market and the industry actually need this product?
Sure.
And is there really a longevity and a need for it? And if you're not building towards a need, and you don't go out and validate that, when I say validate, talk to 30, 50 different potential clients in different verticals of your sales channel and validate that they're actually going to buy and they have a strong need. If you can do that and you get through the process of iterating, then you can go, you'll go through several different ideas before you land on one, but eventually you'll have a really strong case and you'll sell it in the process.
So the reason I'm chuckling is just this morning, before coming to visit with you and do this interview, I was with a group of young leaders here in the local area, and we had that exact discussion about if you're going to start a business, know why you're doing it and what you're going to do, and make sure it's valuable and that it's really a good idea. Because so many times, I think most of us have great intentions about things we want to do, and we may do them out of something we're passionate about, a hobby or something that we feel very strongly about, but we don't ask all of the right questions to go, is this really a good idea?
You need to speak to the buyer.
Yeah.
And if the buyer consistently says, yes, I'm ready to buy right now, then you have something. But if not, if you're speaking to someone that's not actually the buyer and they're filling you with fluff, then it takes you down the wrong road, and you can spend a lot of time and energy.
Absolutely. I appreciate your saying that, because the reason I was chuckling was because just less than 2 hours ago, I had the same discussion with a group of people. So,
and I can speak to this from experience, because I've gone down the wrong path multiple times.
Well, so I won't even ask you that question. How do you learn from a lesson learned is a good lesson learned, right?
Well, it's all about quick iterations. And as an entrepreneur, especially as a startup entrepreneur, it's learning that process of how do you go and validate market. That's the most important process you can learn. Once you validate the market, you typically have a couple of early stage customers, and then you can figure out how to go to market from there. But that's the time you have to spend the time going out and speaking to potential customers. And you absolutely will go down the wrong path several times, but then you'll end up with, oh, okay, I didn't realize it was going to take us here through all these different conversations.
So learn as you go and make good decisions.
Absolutely.
So, hey, Drew Honeycutt's with us here today in Radio Alabama Studios, my guest on the Bull Gap Journal. Drew, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Drew's the CEO of Talladega Castings and Machining up in Talladega, with a rich background for young people who are looking maybe to start their own business. He's involved here with so many young folks, was involved in Birmingham with business startups. So I think you are a certainly a valuable member of our community, and I appreciate your being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
And I appreciate your visiting with us this morning. So.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on the Bull Gap Journal. We talk about life, leadership, communities, family, and common sense. We appreciate it. And if you like what you've heard, go to radioalabama.net/bullgap, and you can learn more.